once upon a time, as recently as 2015, we had plenty of planning approvals and lots of housing in the pipeline. What happened after that?
Back in 2015, the housing market was booming. But even then, back in 2015, when we were achieving 75,000 planning approvals each year in New South Wales, 233,000 planning approvals across the nation, even then, we were still suffering a housing supply difficulty. And the reason was, for the prior 10 years, there'd been a sort of a consistent build-up of an undersupply, therefore pressure being placed on the housing supply market. But Mike Baird really got things going in New South Wales in particular. He sold the poles and wires, got the metro built, the WestConnex contracts were let, and housing supply was flowing on the back of those new big infrastructure investments. Now, unfortunately, Mike Baird committed a kind of hurry-curry from a political perspective and left poles. After selling the poles and wires and getting through the election in 2015, he fell across local government elections and the Greyhound controversies. On the back of that, he left. Gladys Berejiklian came in. She started off well. Then commissioned former Reserve Bank Governor Glenn Stevens to say, why are these housing prices so high? He came back with a pretty obvious answer. It's all about supply. Relax the planning system, relax the controls, get things going. She didn't like it. That's where things changed.
I mean, it seems amazing that even back then, right in the beginning of Gladys Berejiklian's tenure, she says housing affordability is my top priority, gets an obvious economic answer from a huge economic brain and basically ignores it. What happened to the report and to the recommendations?
We went to try and find the report on the government website in 2019. It had completely disappeared. It had been scrubbed from history. We found a copy that we had been sent very early on. It still has the hand markings on it, but luckily we had saved it as a PDF, and we had a copy of the Glenn Stevens report. It didn't suit the political agenda of the day. There was a feeling in some of the more marginal electorates on the northern beaches, on the inner North Shore, places like Ryde, that there was too much housing, too much development. Now, previously, a lot of that development had been in the western suburbs, but that can only go so far. There had started to be a development of more houses in the built-up urban areas. That was getting NIMBY pushback. Gladys was concerned about that and put the handbrakes on using the Greater Sydney Commission as a mechanism through which to do so.
Oh, I remember broadcasting through the Greater Sydney Commission, which ended up taking in other areas like Newcastle and Wollongong.
And Illawarra, yes.
As well as every other call to the radio station saying, we haven't been consulted, there's too much development. What about the official planning departments within the state government and local governments? How much were they kind of captured almost by NIMBYism?
Well, they were completely captured by NIMBYism. Part of that goes back to the education system for planners. They don't really include a solid amount of economics within their degrees. It's all about social planning. It's all about spatial planning and social planning delivering social outcomes, which is great when it works, because all the things that the planners desire are nice things to have. But sometimes...
But isn't affordability a desirable social outcome, as we are discovering?
Exactly right. That's exactly the point. You can't have all of the desirable social outcomes. Somebody's got to pay for the affordable housing contribution. Somebody's got to pay for the white roofs, the increased green deep soil planting, the changes to the building standards, the separation between buildings, the bicycle lanes and the walking paths, the public open spaces for children to play. All of those things are great, and I would love for every community to have all of those things in abundance, except maybe the white roofs. I can do without that. But somebody's got to pay for them, and it's these things that have pushed the affordability line above what people are prepared and capable of paying. And then you add to that difficulties with interest rates, the cost of construction, and that's why we've got a supply crisis, even though the approvals have started to flow through following some reforms undertaken by the Minns government.
In your article, you also mention some of the lost opportunities post-pandemic when we had these incredibly low interest rates. I often think one of the great potential losses is that we could have built a huge amount of social housing, not to mention open up more spaces for people to build houses. What do you think of that particular time in Australia? Was that a real lost opportunity as far as you're concerned?
It was an absolute lost opportunity. We had a period there where actually the construction industry was kept open, to Gladys Berejiklian's credit at that time, and driven by then Treasurer Dominic Perrottet. The construction industry was declared right up front a critical industry for the economic well-being of the state and the nation.
But not the approvals and not the planning system.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You can't build new homes, you can't build new employment facilities, new retail shopping centres if you don't have an approval. And the Department of Planning put its feet on the desk. I mean, they literally closed up. The planning approvals plummeted. Keep in mind now, we need to get 76,000 completed dwellings a year. During the pandemic, they declined to 39,000. And they did return, but ever so slowly. So now we're back up to the low 50,000s, but we're still nowhere near the 75,000. We're now 75,000 homes approved each year is not impossible. We achieved it in 2015, 16, and 17. So it's in the recent history, it was possible. It was only because of that lack of political will, which then flowed through the planning system, and that led to the decline. Then COVID hit, that led to further decline, and we've missed the opportunity for us to be able to have had those approvals racked and stacked on the shelf, ready for the industry to reopen, which it did, and get out there. We reopened after COVID. There were no planning approvals, so nobody could build anything, and here we are today.
So let's fast forward to today. Have the YIMBYs tipped the balance, as well as new planning ministers such as our own Paul Scully, in actually starting to accelerate this building process?
Well, I think the YIMBYs, the Yes in My Backyard crew, was a natural consequence. It even it used to confound me that young people were not more active about supporting housing supply. You had young people being represented, in inverted commas, by Greens opposing every housing community. But those young people have turned and said, actually, we're being locked out. You know, the number of young journalists I talk to who say, I completely agree with you. It's part of the problem. I'm trying to buy a house in Sydney and I can't afford it. I'm trying to buy a house in the Illawarra. I can't afford it. So there was a natural association between the need for housing supply and young people and the need for them to have more affordable housing options driven by greater supply. And so they have turned, and you're quite right. Paul Scully has been a champion of taking on the NIMBYs and taking on councils who refuse to get on board with housing supply. No coincidence, Paul Scully's an economist. He's not a planner. And it's taken a little bit of hard economic reality to seep into the planning system, something which I wish their education system would build into the planner's education right from the start, as I mentioned before. It's taken that to turn them around. And with the help also of Kirsten Fishburne and Simon Draper, the head of the planning department and the head of the Premier's department, we've seen a real drive towards planning reform. And to be fair, Mark Speakman, the former leader of the opposition, and Scott Farlow, they also were pro-housing and they supported a bipartisan approach to get some of these planning reforms through. Neither of them are planners. Now even Kelly Sloan and Chris Rath, the new planning shadow minister, they're on board as well. So I feel that the wheel really has turned. The NIMBYs are on the outer, the YIMBYs are on the ascendancy, and maybe we've got some chance going forward.